Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're back for Caravan of Garbage. We are working our way through three Christopher Nolan films. Have you left a like on this video yet?
Well, I haven't personally, because it's not in my frame of mind. It's not out. It's not out yet.
Oh, there's some kind of time dilation.
Maybe
going
I'll leave
you.
A like in my dream.
Oh my goodness. But if you are watching this, leave a like.
I'll do it in real life. Also. Obviously. Yeah, cool.
A lot of people call this movie Inception. They don't call it Inception. They call it Inception.
Maybe they will after this.
Maybe
we'll put the idea in their head to call it Inception in their daily life.
A lot of people call this movie Inception, the best Christopher Nolan movie.
It's one of my favorites, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, where you at with it?
I like it. It's a good movie.
Do you really?
I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, this movie's going to blow your mind. Oh my God, this movie's so incredible. And maybe I don't feel that way towards it, like that intensely towards it. But I'm like, this is a good, solid action movie with an interesting premise, and it gets everything right for the most part.
And once the heist gets going, which is quite early in the movie, it doesn't take its foot off the accelerometer, does it? Do you know
what
I mean?
Okay?
Are you?
Look, one of us has been incepted in our dreams to either say words funny or perceive words funny. Who is it? We don't know.
Could be you, the listener, as well.
That's right.
I could be speaking just fine. But yeah, it doesn't stop. You know, I don't know the mark, but it seems like the 50-minute mark, maybe. It just bullets
it
to the end.
It kicks right off. Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. See, the thing about this movie, if I had one complaint, is that there's a lot of like, Alan Page, don't even worry about it. This is what's going on. Alan Page, I know you don't understand this, but we actually have an explanation for
oh
that.
Oh, my God. Look, here's the thing, is that upon rewatching this movie, I went to Google Image Search and I typed in Inception poster exposition, expecting somebody had photoshopped the Inception poster to say just exposition.
Oh, right.
Because there's so much exposition.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened yet. I'm astounded.
There's even a moment like well into the movie where Leonardo DiCaprio is sniping people.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, don't worry, they're not real parts of his consciousness. It's just their manifestations.
yeah.
And I'm like, Leonardo DiCaprio, we're well into this by now. You don't need to do any more explanations, all right?
What's happened, either you're completely on board with the concept and you understand it and you're okay with that, or you're totally lost and you're just like, oh, it's a scene set in the snow. This is fun.
Yeah, which is a
maybe
nice...
Maybe they'll go to snowboard school.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice homage to the classic Roger Moore James Bond film, the one where he's in the snow.
Mm.
The spy who was in the snow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Frosty Spy.
Frosty Spy, yeah. This actually started as a horror movie in the early 2000s, though, that Christopher Nolan pitched, but he hadn't quite put it together yet. It was like, this is too ambitious to pull off at this point in time. I'm going to sit on this for nearly a decade to get this thing going again.
But it's my golden egg. I'm going to.
Yeah, pretty much. But what's interesting about this movie also is he's assembled it like you would a film crew. You got your director and your set designer. You've got the actor, Alan Page. All of these things that you need to make a movie are within that heist scene.
Oh, is this movie a metaphor for filmmaking?
It's a metaphor for filmmaking, Mason.
Oh, my God.
If you didn't know.
Already gone way above my head. So what is what's the dream machine case?
Hollywood.
The dream machine case is Hollywood. And you inject it directly into your veins. How's the machine work?
Okay.
It's magic, right?
It's
just a magic wishing box. And it's designed to extract people's dreams and knowledge from their brains. But how does it?
They're not even wearing a thing on their temple, so
right?
You know that they're in each other.
It's just injected in the magic in somebody's brain, but that's not what the magic wishing box is for. How's he going to do it? Well, he's going to work real hard.
He does. He does, by the way. Yeah. You got to hand wave away some stuff in this because, like you said, if you're not kind of on board for the logic of this universe, just stop. Like, yeah. you don't really have to be on board for it. I know there's been talk of it lately, like, wait a minute, maybe Inception isn't very good. It doesn't make much sense. I know Rick and Morty have talked about it as well. Oh, yeah. They've done a Dream Within Dream episode. But I don't know. I think if you can get past that, which obviously most people can, this is a blast, man.
I think
it's
a great
movie, yeah. Also, that magic box is, it's like a brick of cocaine.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That Hollywood.
That's right, yeah. What I also like about this movie is so much of it is practical effects. People probably already know that, but what I've got here
They tilted that entire city.
That's right.
They put it on a jack.
They didn't put it back either. They just left it.
Oh, my God. Just vague Europeans sitting at cafes upside down.
Hey!
They're in favour. That's how they express their...
Yeah, sure. Okay, so this segment of the show is called Real Stuff. That was real. Oh, my God.
Wow,
okay.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
The debris in the streets of Paris when it blows up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Real stuff.
Okay, but were Ellen Page and Leonardo DiCaprio at that cafe?
That was a superimposed.
They were
really sitting in that cafe. They did film that. The water rushing into Leonardo DiCaprio's dream near the start.
Mm-hmm.
Real water rushing in.
Mm-hmm.
The spinning hallway, of course. That's probably the most famous one.
Yeah.
It's 100 feet long. Joseph Gordon-Levitt did his own stunts. He's just tumbling around in that thing, having a good time. The weightlessness as well. They didn't do that.
Like 500 days of vomit, am I right?
Cool, you're not wrong, Mason. Apparently he had to like brace himself to make himself, because you know there's that, it goes weightless at some point in this movie. By the way, this movie's about putting an idea in someone's mind. I know you already said that, but I feel like if you haven't seen this movie, this video is not going to make any sense.
In the spirit of the movie Inception, we're just going to explain the premise over and over and over again.
That's right, yeah. But the weightlessness, sorry. Yeah, he was strung up on wires and he had to like tense every muscle in his body to make it look like I'm just having a cool weightless time. But he was like real hard, didn't like it. Big train was a real train.
Ooh.
But it was truck. They put train over truck.
Oh my God, that is movie magic. Make truck train. Intriguing.
The walking up the wall bit.
Yep.
And when they're like, let's walk up this wall.
That really shonky green screeny. I remember that.
You remember that, yeah. The walk is real, but yeah, the effects are, you understand.
I understand. Yeah. I've seen the Ministry of Silly Walk sketch from Monty Python.
The tilting bar with Cillian Murphy, where he's like, Cillian Murphy, did you know this is a tilting bar? And he's like, oh my God, I thought this was a regular bar.
Oh my God, yep.
Yeah.
My Mai Tai, ooh.
But they nail everything down. So you see like the fish bowls don't tilt, just the water in them, same with the glasses. All the cast and crew are just like furiously gripping the set as it's tilting at 45 degrees.
Christopher Nolan's like, today everyone's a grip. And all the crew are like, what do you mean by that? Ah!
Well, they auditioned extras because not everybody could do it. So they went through a bunch of people like, nah, no balance. Get the fuck out of here. We need people with balance and poise. The Penrose Stairs.
Oh, yes. The M.C. Escher-style stairs.
That's
yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. The avalanche. They did real avalanches in the snow. And, of course, they used cherry pickers to block the sun in the sequence in the rain because they filmed in LA and they're like, LA's too bright. There's too many stars shining in LA even during the daytime.
Yep.
So they had these things.
Look at them crowding around that mysterious briefcase. What's in that briefcase? Let's not look too hard.
So they had cherry pickers that they'd have to move during the day to keep it overcast.
Intriguing.
Which is pretty incredible. Mm. Now, a big famous part of this movie, which we talked about last week when we wrapped up The Prestige, mm-hmm. is the musical. The score in particular.
Oh, yes.
Bah, 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 bah. You know, everyone knows it. Hans Zimmer, though, he didn't make that song. There was a different composer by the name of Zach Hemsey, which I think is quite fascinating. I was just associated that with Hans Zimmer and been like, thanks a lot, Hans Zimmer.
That's right. But now we know it's the Hemsey honk.
Yeah. But again, though, within the context of this movie, I mean, they even have a story point for why it exists. It's a slowed down version of French song. French song. You know French
yes,
song?
Yes, I do, yes.
Yeah, Edith Piaf.
Did you know that Marion Cotillard played Edith Piaf in a movie?
She plucked all her eyebrows out for it.
Is that a coincidence? Probably.
Yeah, apparently it is. I got a question for you, Mason.
Yes.
You're a man of fashion.
Oh, yes.
You're a man of the times.
Oh.
But you're also a man out of time in terms of fashion.
What's going on? What's happening?
So What clothing? I know you're a big fan. Where are you at with this movie? Because it was huge at the time. People were like, oh my goodness, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, could you look any swankier?
I'm a big fan of it. I'm
liking, even 10 years on?
Yeah, it still holds up for the most part. Yeah, some nice three-piece suits. Mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio's wearing his nice sort of French-style work jacket for his casual scenes. Yep.
Sure. Tom Hardy's calling people darling.
He's looking ridiculous. See, Tom Hardy's outfits in this are so sort of strangely out there that they don't really age.
Yeah,
if anything,
right.
They're more contemporary now.
Oh, my goodness.
Wearing his camp collars and his textured jackets. No, he's looking good. Everybody's looking good.
That's good to hear. What about Michael Caine?
He's got that Mandarin collar jacket, doesn't he? He's looking very intellectual.
God, you're good. You're just ripping out names of things. I would never even know that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking good in it.
Good to hear. You know what works for me in this movie?
What's that?
I mean, there is the desperation of the heist and you're stuck within a dream with a dream. If you die within a dream, you die in many dreams and then you go down into dream hell.
What happens is if you die in a dream normally, you wake up, except if you've been sedated, in which case if you die in a dream, you go down to limbo. And if you go down to limbo, there's a chance you'll go mad. I mean, it's not a very good chance because most of the people who go down to limbo don't go mad.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, DiCaprio didn't go mad and Fisher didn't go mad and Saito didn't go mad. And Ariadne didn't go mad.
That's right.
It's only Mole that went mad. So, I mean, realistically, just take a holiday in limbo and then come back up and you'll
Seems
be fine.
Seems fine. Hmm. That's, yeah, you're not wrong. But what worked for me, though, was the idea that Leonardo DiCaprio needs to get back to his kids. I think maybe it's because I've had kids since then. Yep. But I feel like there's a level of comprehension in this movie that I have that you don't.
Here we go.
I'm saying, Mason, as a father.
No, but I know about all the suits and stuff. Come on.
That's true. We both have things going on, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, DiCaprio apparently worked close with Christopher Nolan for months to work in the human element to this story. Because so much of this is mechanical, it's moving parts, you know, stairs that go nowhere.
And Nolan is a craftsman.
He's a craftsman,
say,
yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely the way that you can look at his movies, but I think that human element totally works for me. You're familiar with the totem theory, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
What's going on there?
So I have some ideas and I have a question also, which maybe you can answer.
Sure.
Maybe he's been answered before. I don't know. I don't watch anything on YouTube. But here's the thing.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother... or... sales. I definitely prefer... don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nix, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying? When you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot. Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. You've probably heard this, or maybe you've even experienced it. A business gets to a certain size and then the cracks start to emerge. Things that used to take like a day and now taking a week. There's too many manual processes just grinding away and you don't have that one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and a whole lot more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. NetSuite allows you to have the power of all the information in one place to help you make more effective decisions as quickly as possible so you can keep moving, keep building, keep growing, or have more time off, whatever it is that you're looking to do. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. That's netsuite.com/weeklyplanet to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/weeklyplanet.
So in the world of Inception, if you're concerned that you might be trapped in someone else's dreams and they're trying to extract information from you, you carry a totem. It's a small little trinket that only you know the specifics of.
Yes.
And if you think maybe you're asleep, you grab a hold of that thing, and if it feels right, you're awake. If it doesn't feel right, something's wrong.
Mm.
Leonardo DiCaprio's totem, formerly belonging to his wife, is a little spinning top. And in a dream, for some reason, it spins forever. But if you're awake, physics takes effect, and it doesn't spin forever. And at the end of the movie, he spins that totem, and then he sees his kids, and he just leaves the totem behind. Is it real? Is it a dream? We don't know.
Michael Caine has been like, well, all the bits where I'm in the movie are real. That's what Christopher Nolan told me. Mm-hmm. And so that means that that was real at the end. Also, it wiggles a little bit, which makes me think that...
You're right.
But the point, though, of that scene is, apparently, and I think this is what I took from it, it doesn't matter.
Oh, of course not, yeah.
That's the point. Yeah. Obviously, he's like, I don't care for totems. I only care for kissing my kids.
Well, we live in a world in which nobody's happy with an open end. You know, an open-ended finale where you just can't know. So there's a lot of reaching. People are like, well, actually, his totem is his wedding ring, and when he is awake, he is wearing it.
Yes,
and when he's asleep, he's not wearing it.
Or the opposite.
Or the opposite. I didn't go back and check. There simply wasn't time.
Yes,
but here's my question to you, James.
Sure.
When you put somebody under and they're asleep and you're invading their dreams, they're just right there. Couldn't you just rifle through their pockets and find the one unusual thing in their pockets and then make a copy of that and put it in the dream? Because you'd be like, okay, I'm going to go through this guy's pockets. All right, keys, bus ticket, golden chess piece. Maybe it's that. Maybe we should focus on that. So I think what the solution would be, it's kind of like a war between like stealth technology and radar. Like both sides keep building up the technology.
Sure, yeah.
So
yeah.
What I think ultimately would happen is, you would capture one of these extractors and you'd be like, I'm going to get stuff out of their mind through their dreams. And you'd go through their pockets and they'd have like 200 knickknacks. And you'd be like, oh God, I don't know, little thing of the Eiffel Tower, a Pez dispenser with Batman on it.
I think I'd just use regular stuff. Like I'd have a lot of weird trinkets.
Yeah,
but then I'd have like this old bus ticket that was folded in half. Mm. And that's the thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
But they'd probably be ready for that somehow.
You'd be ready for that. They'd have to be an additional guy on the team who's just obsessive compulsive collector of things.
Yeah.
And he would just catalog everything. That's right. You know what I mean?
And it's also
a reverse Lucas Haas. I wanted to be clear in Dom's earlier team.
Yes,
he's got the actor Lucas Haas playing a character whose name I cannot recall.
Yeah, but
he's just bad at it.
He's so bad. Did
they get him on Fiverr or Cameo or something like that? Like he doesn't know. He can't architect. He doesn't know how to build a room that the subject would believe in.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what a kick is.
No.
He's like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's like, give him the kick, and he's like, what? What do you mean what? Push him into the water. Everybody knows this.
To be fair, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was talking to us, the audience.
He was talking to the audience. That's true, yeah.
But yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean,
and nobody seems to care when they're dragging him away to shoot him either.
He got what he deserved. Later in the movie, Leonardo DiCaprio is talking to Ariadne, but really he's talking to the people watching the trailer because he's like, look, that's great, all the cities you're turning upside down and all the mirrors you're building on the streets and all the bridges you're lifting up into the air, that's good for the trailer. But we're not going to use these in the actual movie. We're going to put all these effect shots in the trailer and then they're going to bend
over. This is super compelling imagery, don't get me wrong.
So compelling, but I mean later, due to the rules of this world, you can't actually use any of them. You're only going to be able to design regular cities and regular cars and regular warehouses, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. Here's a question for you.
I'm ready.
This is the only question I have about this movie. Of the many questions you could have, it relates to dying in a dream. If you die in a dream, you die in real life, apparently. Even though we've established you probably will be fine. You'll just turn into an old man and someone will be like, hey, let's boot. That's what happens.
Yeah.
My question is, if you wee in a dream, do you wee in real life?
Oh, my God. Well, that's a good question because if you recall, Yusuf the chemist drinks too much on the plane.
Drinks too much wee.
Exactly. Well, it's first class. You get whatever you want. He drinks too much on the plane, and then when they go into his dream, it's raining in the dream.
Yes.
Right? And that is apparently a consequence of the drinking too much. So I guess if he weed in real life.
Yeah. He was under for 10 hours.
The
as
rain
well.
Would stop, I yeah. guess.
But he was under for 10 hours or something like that, the yeah, duration yeah. of that flight. It's amazing that he didn't wee.
That's what the tube's for. The box just shoots out a ray or something. You don't need to actually be connected. The box collects all your wee.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That was the last unanswered question about the movie Inception. So,
well, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. So if you've been watching this being like, who are these idiots and why are they talking about this movie they know nothing about? We solved your problem.
Actually, we figured it out. And this is going to be a separate video with a big circle and an arrow in it.
That's right.
The title's going to be We in the Box. Is there we in this box?
Yep.
Yes, there will be.
That's right.
Yeah. This is one of those things where, like, it's an action movie that doesn't talk down to you, but it's not so complicated that you don't understand it, the way that it's crafted. Similarly to The Prestige, you can follow this if you're kind of, if you're vaguely paying attention, you know, right. You kind of know what's going on. And I think, again, that's an absolute credit to the crafting of this universe because it so easily would have made no sense.
Oh, absolutely.
Or just... Yeah. The audience is going, you've lost me, I don't know. Where are we? Are we in the snow? Are we in a van? Who's weeing and who isn't? Right. You know what I mean? Incredible.
I agree, yeah. But again, there is a lot of exposition.
That does help, doesn't it?
God, there's a lot.
Yeah. Here's something you might not know, though.
I'm ready.
There was actually going to be a video game based in the world of Inception.
Oh, I would have loved that.
It was called Inception, but video games, everyone.
Oh my goodness, wow.
Yeah. So
it's Inception, but bleeps and bloops.
It's just Pog.
Yep.
Yeah. So during a Rome press conference for Inception, Christopher Nolan expressed the idea of creating a video game spin-off. One thing we are looking at doing is developing a video game based on the world of the film, which is all kinds of ideas you can't fit into a feature film. That's something we've been talking about and are looking at doing long-term in a couple of years. Since that statement in 2010, there has been no follow-up of video game. But I'd love to see an Inception video game. Remember how they did Matrix Path of Neo, and it was the Matrix, but more.
So you're saying you're Leonardo DiCaprio, you're fighting giant ants.
That's right. Yeah, essentially. Why not? It's a dream.
Put it there in limbo. Look out for the giant ants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Also, Leonardo DiCaprio, stop dreaming. You're ruining everyone's dreams with your bad dreams.
You know what I enjoyed? Look, here's some miscellaneous notes that I have for this movie. Speaking of that, you know, it's important to build kind of tension in these movies, you know.
Disagree.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's important to build tension in these movies, but there's a point in which Moll is about to kill Ariadne in the dream, sort of the test dream where Ariadne is testing out the rules and she goes too far. And then, of course, Leonardo DiCaprio's subconscious goes to kill her.
Yeah.
And there's a moment in that where Dom is like, no, no, don't do it, Moll. But, I mean, he knows everyone's going to be fine. So, like,
yeah.
If anything, he'd just be annoyed. He'd be like, oh, God, this again? Seriously, Mal, stop this. Seriously, oh, God.
I think he's doing it for Ellen Page. Like, yeah. Well, if I want to offer this job, I can't be like, oh, no, hey, you're going to get stabbed.
I'd be like, don't worry about it. I'd be like, don't
but it still hurts, though.
I guess.
Yeah.
I'd be like, lean into it. If she goes to stab you, put your head into it. It'll be over quicker. No, don't worry.
Yeah, that's some exposition that I want.
I'd appreciate it. That's kind of his Star Trek II Wrath of Khan moment. If you remember in Star Trek II Wrath of Khan.
He wasn't in that movie. What are you talking
about?
No, but
in that movie, Captain Kirk is in that movie. And then Khan leaves on the spaceship and Captain Kirk's like, Khan! Khan!
No,
and then
Spock. He's like, you're thinking of the movie Star Trek Into Darkness.
I am thinking of that movie. And then he's like, actually, we can just escape this way.
Yeah, we figured it out.
It's fine. So.
Yeah, that was for nobody.
It was for the audience. Let's see, what else do I have here? A special shout out to Leonardo DiCaprio's expression when he explains to Fisher what subconscious security is.
Oh, burst so many memes.
The squint that launched a million memes, that squint. Very good. And also, I liked a moment where there's a moment where Cobb is being chased through Mombasa, and one of the Cobalt engineering security guys says, "You're not dreaming now, are you?" Which I like to think that there's now a rivalry between regular security and subconscious extraction security. Yeah. And I like to think that, you know, obviously because one is kind of cooler and more interesting and more sophisticated.
Clothing and et cetera.
Exactly. But I like to think it's because after the debut of subconscious security, regular security was renamed dumb, boring, normal security. So now when that guy like meets a woman in a bar, she's like, what do you do? And he's like, dumb, normal, boring security. She's like, ugh.
Gross. Yeah. That's
well, gross. I'll see you in my dreams. Not.
Yeah, I love that. Just a pack of like dumb bullies chasing DiCaprio. Bad timing, DiCaprio. Well.
Wish you could wake up from this, huh? And they wedge him. They dunk his head in the toilet.
Terrific stuff. All in all, Inception.
It's a good movie, I think.
I think so.
If you haven't watched Inception, but you've somehow suffered through this movie, go back and watch it.
Give it a bloody go, mate. Give it a red hot go.
Mm-hmm.
If you got some theories about Inception, what are your theories about Inception?
Yeah.
They can be Wii related, but we've covered that. You might have something to build on. It could be
on Wii,
or poo, whatever.
Maybe, yeah.
Could be poop related.
Could be poop related. Yeah. I mean, the tube's quite narrow.
That's
I
right.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, I bet that just ruins the whole machine.
Oh, so. I see. Right.
Just gums up the whole thing. That's probably for extended audio. That's not something you want like a visual element of, do you?
Absolutely not. Nobody's gonna leave. I haven't left a like. They're not going to leave a like after that.
Certainly not. Next week, we're coming back to wrap up our Christopher Nolan trilogy. People are like, which direction are you going to go? Memento, Insomnia, Following, Batman movies. Another time for the Batman movies. Can you not?
God, just leave it just for a leave second. It. Can we not talk about Batman for 5 minutes?
But here it comes, Mason.
I can't, just to be clear. I'm going to talk about Batman after this video ends.
That's right. Interstellar. I know.
I don't like Interstellar. I don't like the movie Interstellar.
Game away, Mason.
Maybe I'll, but you know what? I was not super fond of The Prestige first time I watched that. So maybe in a rewatch,
I'll
find some hidden depths to this movie.
Exactly.
In that weird trans-dimensional bookshelf or whatever happens in it.
Exactly, or whatever happens in it. Also, speaking of birthing memes, how many reaction videos were birthed from Matthew McConaughey crying at a television? Oh my goodness, Mason.
At least one is the answer?
There's probably one. Also, subscribe if you want, because there's videos here all the goddamn time. But if you want early videos, you go to bigsandwich.co, you sign up. Early Caravan of Garbage videos, bonus podcast episodes.
Movie commentaries.
That's right. So that's all very exciting stuff, isn't it?
That's right.
You can come back and see Interstellar early.
That's right.
But I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Suggest a thing. We might look at it at some point. But look, we'll see. We'll see.
Who's the reverse Christopher Nolan? Maybe we should watch him later.
The reverse Christopher Jonathan Nolan.
Has he made any movies?
Yes, some. Oh. Including some of Christopher Nolan's. He's doing Westworld stuff. He's not the reverse. So what's the reverse of a Christopher Nolan?
I guess
Nolan?
It's Michael Bay. We covered those already. Go back and watch the Transformers movies.
All right, guys. Catch you next time.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.